So, but yeah, last week we really got started in this series, and we talked about Jesus calling Peter away from the boat, like away from the shore, right? So the series called Forward, Taking Your Next Step with Jesus, all starts with an invitation. It all starts with Jesus coming to us in our lives and saying, follow me, right? But what we learned from Peter last week was that you have to leave the shore, right? When Jesus says, follow me, you have to go.
Amen.
You can't just stay present. So, where was it that I, you know, you turn away from sin, right? So and you turn away from your old self. That's what I was getting at, you know. We want to turn away from your sin, of course, but you turn away from your old self and follow Christ. But if we never walk away from the shore, if we never walk away from our life, what are we turning away from? Right? To follow Him. If we stay put in our life, if we stay put in our livelihood, if we stay put in our comfort, then we're not following Christ. Remember we talked last week, we become, you know, kind of become more of an observer than a follower. And you see what's going on, but you're not actively pursuing it. So Peter showed us that first step of discipleship when Jesus says, follow me. And they dropped their nets and followed him. And now through this progression, at some point he had to decide if he was going to remain where he was or trust Jesus enough to take that step. And that's why I feel this series is going to be such a turning point, or, excuse me, turn this off for a second. If I felt my voice going, it was going to go mute in a second there. But this series is asking what it means to be a disciple and what that next step of discipleship looks like. So as a church, one thing that I've been praying over and that I want to get us to is, you know, it's going to be coming more evident in the next coming months as we start they were going to be called foundation groups. If you've heard me say that, I've actually had a change of heart. They're going to be called pathway groups, but it's because I've been looking into this pathway of discipleship, how our church goes through discipleship. Everybody has a next step. And we are going to move from follow Jesus, which is where we are now. The next few weeks, we're going to be talking about following Jesus in every aspect of different people in the Bible. And then we're going to talk about growing in Jesus, which is going to be through, you know, fellowship, Sunday morning adult study, pathway groups, everything like that. Living for Jesus. Because as we learn about Jesus, we should naturally live for Jesus, amen?
Amen?
We learn about who he is. We want to follow him. We want him to be our teacher, our guide. And as we learn about him, we start to live like him. And then ultimately we help others do the same.
Amen.
And that's what the pathway of discipleship is that we're going to be going through, is follow Jesus, live in Jesus, okay? Follow Jesus, grow in Jesus, live for Jesus, help others do the same.
Amen.
And as Peter started this journey, we're now going to be entering into the book of Mark, chapter 2, and we're going to be speaking of a man you might know, Levi, the tax collector. Amen. And he is offered this as well. So, we're still in this first part of follow Jesus, but last week, Jesus called Peter a fisherman. And this week, he calls Levi a tax collector. And at first glance, at first thought, you might think these are two completely different aspects, but I want to also show that they're similar in the call that they're being asked to. Peter was a fisherman, right? Just a local fisherman providing for his family. Levi was a tax collector. Probably not the most well-liked person in the world. But the call that Jesus said was the same. So Peter's story, we asked whether we would leave the shore. But Levi's story is asking or clarifying, who does Jesus call me first? So, Mark 2, verses 13, says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him as he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus. And Levi got up and followed him. So this story begins with Jesus teaching among the crowds. He is back down at the shore. So we don't know. It doesn't give us context. I don't know if Peter said, drop their nets, and they walked 40 feet to the left. We don't know. But Jesus is back in that same area. Okay, and he's saying, and they're walking along, and he's teaching among the crowds. They're making their movement. And he sees Levi. And for us, we can probably see, we can sometimes overthink or pass right by that statement that Levi, tax collector's booth, because we hear tax collector, and if you're me, first thing I think of when tax collector is just, we think of someone, you know, that might work for the government. I think of someone who does my taxes every year, okay? But in first century Israel, tax collectors carried a very different reputation. Okay, they were not highly liked. They were often viewed as collaborators with Rome. Okay? And commonly associated with greed, dishonesty, and exploitation. They made their money because they were charging the taxes, but guess what? Those taxes were not always the amount that was voted on. If Rome charged 10%, they were like, you owe 20. And what were they going to say? So Levi was not the kind of person that most religious leaders or people of the synagogue or wherever they were teaching, he was not the kind of person that they would have selected to be a disciple. Because he essentially was viewed as what many of us today would call a con. Now, he wasn't, maybe, like, not all of them were, but that reputation showed different. So Jesus intentionally approaches Levi, a man that others would have avoided, and simply just says, follow me. And what stands out in Mark's account is how little of an explanation we're given, right? When we talked about Peter, we talked about the miracle of the fish. We talked about the conversation. But in Luke 5, there's the miracle. There's, I'm flipping out about Luke. So, yeah, Mark. In Luke, reading the same story, there's no miracle. There's no lengthy conversation being held. There's no description of what's happening. But Mark simply tells us that Jesus called him, and Levi followed. There was, you know, probably some dialogue in Levi's head, but that's not the point that Mark was making. He gets past that. He's like, Jesus called another person. He followed. But what we see in these verses is that Mark is less interested in explaining why Levi followed and more interested in showing why Jesus called him in the first place. Levi was leaving behind a life that had defined him, just like Peter. But this life was defined by everyone else around him. If people saw Levi, they probably turned away because they're like, he's going to talk to me about the money. He's going to approach me about this situation. He's going to let me know I'm still behind. All these things. So Levi, you know, was probably the kind of person that walked through the crowd. People were like, don't say it. Whereas Peter, local fisherman, probably had conversation, dialogue, hung out with friends. Two very different types of people. But the focus is not on Levi. Once again, we don't see Levi searching. for Jesus. Jesus approaches Levi. Time and time again, we see this, and Levi responds in obedience. So throughout Scripture, God is constantly the one who moves toward people before they ever move toward him. Jesus does not wait for Levi to become worthy of the invitation. Jesus calls him, and he begins the process of transformation through discipleship, just by saying, follow. That's when that process begins. And Jesus' call to Levi is the same call that he gives everyone. No matter what your reputation is, no matter who you are in town, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter what's going on in your life, the invitation is still the same. Jesus says, follow me. To the person who is doing drugs, down on their luck, living on the street, Jesus says, follow me.
Amen.
To the person who has everything, has the house, has the cars, has the lifestyle, but isn't following Jesus, isn't living with Jesus, Jesus has the same invitation. Follow me. It's the starting point is still the same. Follow me. But it might not look the same for everyone. So as disciples, we're called to help others follow him. So Jesus is still calling people to follow. But every Christian is called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that we're all called to do it the same way. Does that make sense? God has not called every Christian to stand behind a pulpit and preach. Probably a good thing. It's scary for the ones that he has called. For instance, I didn't know I was going to ever do this. I've talked about it before. My wife and me joke about it every once in a while, but I am not the person who will speak. I do not like public speaking. I do not like calling my mother-in-law. I do. She's watching. That's not what I meant.
Oh, she's
I love
watching.
My mother-in-law.
She's watching.
But if Megan were to be like, hey, call my mom for this, I'd be like, why? You do it. I'm not that person. It's very hard for me. I don't like, if you told me to walk across the street and knock on a door and have a conversation, I can't. Like, my mind doesn't let me do it. But if you tell me tomorrow that I'll be preaching in Giant Stadium, doesn't matter. I would do it. It's just a different mindset that I have. It's what God has gifted me in. But God has not called everyone to teach a Bible study. God has not called everyone to be a missionary. But Scripture tells us that we are created with different gifts. We are all members of the same body. But every disciple is called to live a life that points to Christ. So while you might not be someone who is called to preach, you might not be someone who is called to evangelize, you might be someone who's called to pray. You might be called to lift someone up through a different way of teaching. But every Christian is called as a disciple to lead others to Christ in the way that God has gifted them. That is where disciple making begins. Before we even say anything, people will watch how we live. People will watch how we love. People will watch how we forgive. People watch how we follow Jesus. When we leave this room, when we leave the church, when we go about our day, how do we look to the world? Do we even look like someone they would say, that's a Christian? That's a follower of Christ? Or would, after months and months of you working in your workplace, and you say, oh, sorry, I can't do that, I have to go to church. Oh, I didn't even know you were a Christian. That might be a little rough to hear. But how does our life look to people? But what is being raised in this scene, what is happening, is that it's not that Levi simply left. The deeper question that is being shown is, why would Jesus call someone like Levi in the first place? A tax collector that nobody probably enjoyed being around. But that shows us the mission of Christ. That shows us what he came for. So after Levi is called to follow, the next thing we see is Levi's pathway through discipleship. Because like I said, everyone is through this differently. Everyone's in different spots, but none of us have the same exact thing. It's not, oh, you become a Christian, step one, step two, you call this person and you do this thing, and then we all do this next piece. That's not how it works. We have different gifts. We have different ways. So Levi is called to follow, and he does something next. And he's a disciple who helps other people encounter Jesus. In verse 15, it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? So we go very quickly from tax booth to the dinner table. Okay? Levi is now hosting a meal that is attended by Jesus, his disciples, other tax collectors, sinners. And in the ancient world, sharing a meal was a very big thing. Like it's not us going out to lunch or something. That's fellowship. We enjoy doing that. But in this time, meals were had by the social part of the group. So, like the heads of the household, or you know, if they were elevated in status, they ate over here, while maybe the servants and other people ate over here, or they ate first, and then others would follow. Okay, so having a meal communicated acceptance, the relationship you had, and what group you belong to. But Jesus isn't just passing through and doing his thing, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm above that. He's intentionally spending time with people whom the religious leaders would have avoided first. He is very intentional spending time with people who need to hear about Jesus. So what is remarkable is that Levi's first recorded action, first thing that Levi does after following Jesus, is telling others to come, inviting others to his house, inviting others to see Jesus, inviting others into the presence of Christ. That's it. He just invites people to come. And I think this is where many Christians become hesitant. I think we convince ourselves that we need the perfect environment to invite someone in. I think we wonder if they'll like the music. We wonder if they'll like the music. We wonder if they're going to connect with the preacher. We wonder if they're going to enjoy our church. Does it smell? Does it look all right? Does it look dingy? We think about these things. But instead of extending the invitation, we wait. We wait for a perfect setting to bring them into, rather than just inviting. But church, you need to hear this morning. It is not our responsibility to transform people. Amen?
Amen?
We are sinners. We do not do the transforming, okay? Christ alone transforms people.
Amen.
Our responsibility is to bring people into the presence of the Lord. So Jesus can do what Jesus does, to create an opportunity for people to encounter him. Levi saw that right away. Because when Jesus said, follow me, Levi was like, come over. Hey guys, come over. You got to see this? Let's hang out tonight. Nothing else. Just inviting them to the presence of the Lord. So we as Christians, are responsible for the invitation. Jesus is responsible for the transformation.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we think that we need to transform somebody before we invite them. Hey, I don't want to wear that hat. Hey, is that the right outfit you should wear in the church? Hey, get all those cuss words out before you come in the door. Whatever it may be, I'm not saying that's what we do, but I'm just saying like that mentality can be shown at some time. But we do not wait for the transformation to take place to invite somebody into the presence of the Lord. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We invite them into the presence of Him. He does the transforming. I can tell you right now, when I became a Christian, a little baby Christian, right in the beginning, I was horrible. And in a lot of ways, I'm still horrible. Don't ask my wife. She'll be truthful. There's a lot I've got to do. If nobody invited me until I was ready, I would not be here today. I still don't feel ready 99% of the time. And God has called me to preach to you, to read this book, to share the word, and I walk out of here sometimes going, oh, I feel horrible today. But God is still transforming my life. But I needed to be invited into the presence of the Lord. And do you want to hear a funny story? Do you know who invited me to church? Wasn't even a Christian. It was my cousin who didn't want to go to youth group alone because a girl invited him to youth group. And he's like, I'm not going to youth group alone. And I was like, I'll go with you, I guess. And then I stayed. He went like twice. That's fine. That's what God used to get me at the door. The invitation. I haven't turned back since. I've stumbled along the way, hit a couple walls, but God is transforming us over and over throughout our life, throughout our walk with Him when we follow Him, but it starts with us following Him. Levi doesn't wait. Jesus changed his life, and now he wants people he cares about to meet him too. So Levi also did not have everything figured out. He had not been following Jesus for years. He hadn't been in Bible studies for months. He just simply took the next step and invited somebody into the presence that he found himself in. He's like, there's this man. Said, told me to follow him. And there's something different about him. Come over tonight and talk. Come over tonight and meet. Come over tonight and be around the people that know him. Because not everyone is comfortable with this. We see in the next verses that not everyone was comfortable with the kind of people that Jesus welcomed at the table, that Jesus was around. Because Jesus had authority. People recognized him as master, teacher. But then, when the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him meeting with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? This tension that's been under the surface is finally coming to light. Because when they see Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners, they immediately question his motives and his actions. And it's crazy because what troubles them is not that they just saw Levi literally become a Christian, literally say, okay, I'm following Jesus. What troubled them is who Jesus was associating with around Levi. And the reaction remains this misunderstanding of the mission of Christ. That the Pharisees believed that holiness was preserved through separation. They believe you stay holy by being away from the people in the sin that is going to drain you. Or you don't want to come in contact with that because it might come into you. Like whatever it is. They were, what is it? Please don't go around them.
But remember, famous verse, Romans 3:23, for all of us, and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We should show other people that there is a way to the way, the truth, and the life, and that is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus was not sitting at Levi's table because he approved of sin. No, he was sitting there because sinners were the very people that he came to reach. And the Pharisees saw this as like some sort of compromising your faith or your holiness, but Jesus saw it as his mission. So the way Levi followed Jesus and how the Pharisees believe you should follow Jesus or follow God at that moment, because they're still trying to figure out who this man is, becomes this difference. Levi encountered the grace of Jesus and immediately began bringing others into his presence. But the Pharisees had spent years studying God's word, yet they were criticizing the very people Jesus came to reach. Levi was participating in Jesus' mission. The Pharisees were resisting. And Levi was helping people move toward Christ, while the Pharisees were creating obstacles and boundaries and walls between people. So the Gospel of Mark, when you're reading this, is this moment, and I want us to feel this contrast, because sooner or later, every follower of Jesus must answer the same question. You ready? It's a very complex question. Okay? Am I joining Jesus in his mission, or am I standing in the way? Plain and simple. Am I joining Jesus in his mission, following him, bringing other people into his presence? Or am I the one standing in the way of somebody hearing about Jesus because of what I want? Because of how I think they should come? Because of what I think they should be before they enter into his presence? And that matters, because even today, the church faces this temptation. Not all churches, not all are the same. But it is very possible to create expectations and barriers that unintentionally communicate that people need to change before they can come to Christ. But what is being told through this passage is literally the opposite. That Jesus meets people where they are, invites them into a relationship, and begins the work of transformation in their life as soon as they start following. So Levi's home became a place where people who were far from God could encounter them. And as I studied this week, I could not help but ask myself, you know, and pray, Lord, what barriers are being created? In what way is the church today acting more like the Pharisee than Christ? What walls have we built that are telling people they can't come into this process of the Lord because of expectations we've created over? Levi opened his home. He invited people into the presence of the Lord so Jesus could transform. And that's still our calling today, that we are obedient to the invitation, but Jesus Christ is responsible for the transformation. And once we understand why Jesus came, because why Jesus came in the first place was to meet people where they were. And for that to happen, people, once they become a Christian, a disciple of Christ, need to understand what the mission of Christ is. If you don't understand what the mission is, how can you help fulfill the mission? And everything is pointing to this last verse. So when we looked at Peter, we looked at Peter's life. We looked at who he was. We looked at why he followed. There was a miracle of the fish in Levi. It was quickly, follow me, Levi followed, but then we see what's happening after. How Levi's life was different. Inviting people into the presence of the Lord. The Pharisees asking, why are you doing this?
to give the ability for Jesus to respond. That on hearing this, on hearing the Pharisees say, why is Jesus with tax collectors? Why is he hanging out with sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And with that response, Jesus explains everything about his mission. He called Levi, sat at Levi's table, and welcomed sinners because that is why Jesus came, to seek and save the lost. And it's great because they talk about a doctor, a physician, and this illustration is really powerful because is anybody surprised to find a doctor among sick people? That sounds completely normal, right? Have a problem? Doctor's there. If you see a doctor in a hospital around a bunch of sick people, you're like, good, that's where the doctor should be, right? In the same way, Jesus is explaining that his presence among sinners is not evidence that something is wrong. Jesus among sinners is evidence that is his mission. He is doing what he came to do. Jesus is among sinners because sinners want to meet Jesus. Jesus is among the lost because the lost are the ones who need Jesus. And that helps us understand the meaning that Mark is not teaching us about Levi. Yes, Levi followed, but he's teaching us what happened, what this lifestyle looks like. And the response to follow Jesus is important. And so was Peter's last week, but the message points us to Jesus Christ. What did they do after they followed? What did Levi do after he followed? Proclaiming people to Jesus. Jesus came for people who recognize that they need his grace. He came for people who did not save themselves. He came for sin. So the mission of Jesus changes how we, as Christians, are disciples in the world. If Jesus came pursuing sinners, then his followers cannot be indifferent towards sinners. We can't be indifferent towards the world around us. We can't be unaccepting of the people around us. Jesus didn't accept sin, but he was among the sinners. And our lives should show someone who's not with Christ what a life with Christ looks like. Every disciple has a role to help people encounter Jesus, but we do not all serve in the exact same way. Levi was not led to preach. But imagine how many people encountered Jesus because he's not invited to see Christ, to be in the presence of the Lord. He opened his home, he invited his friends, he used what God had already placed in his hand. So God uses different people in different ways, but every disciple has to play in the mission of Jesus Christ, play a part. And it starts with being obedient to the call of Christ to follow him. First step, follow him. And then you invite others through experience Jesus' work. So what is the next step Jesus is asking you to take? For some, it's literally to start following Jesus. For others, it's to leave behind something that has been holding you back from fully surrendering to him. For others, it may be creating an opportunity, just like Levi did, to help others encounter Jesus. For some, it may be to trust that God does the transforming. It's not our job to transform people. It's just, look at me. Look at who I was without Christ. I didn't do this. This is Christ transforming me in my life because I'm following him. So we don't need a perfect environment for people to step into, but we need to invite them into the presence of a perfect Savior. Does that make sense? Jesus is the perfect one. The environment is not perfect. Put a little bit of salt in clean water, purified water, it is no longer purified water. You put a drop of food coloring in crystal clear water, it is no longer crystal clear water. You put sinners in the church, we're still sinners in the church, guys. Christ is the perfect one. We just invite people into his presence. Because following Jesus is more than just something external. So next week, so we've seen two examples now of simply following Christ and what that looks like. Next week, we're going to meet Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders. And what we're going to see and hear is Jesus explains now what must happen on the inside of us to enter the kingdom of God. Because following Jesus is an external exchange or an external change, but it requires the transforming grace of Jesus Christ in our life to be born again and living differently. Amen.
Amen. By the worship team, let's pray.